Thursday the 24th of July, Kof Aleph Tammuz, Rabbi Mendy Chizik, Tanai B'nai Geld U'v'nei U'v'ein.
Bereshit, Choshev Tzibur B'nei Perig U'v'kan every morning. Start the day. I should say that I'm sitting here. Sorry, but I'm not sitting here. I wanted maximum the vote from my own Rebbe, my unforgettable Rosh Hashiva, Abraham Kaufman, the expert of the Rosh Hashiva. He used to tell us over many times, the Torah says, Uvachalta Vachayim. Vachayim is Gematria 70. So the Balaturim, Elu Shivim Ponim La Torah. These are the 70 different ways of explaining the Torah. So what does it mean? Choose life, the 70 ways of learning Torah. So Chaim is to say, that just like when a person has lived 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, he still likes his next 10, 20 years just as much as his first years. He doesn't say, well, I've already had 50 years, so who's fussy about the other 20? And the same thing applies when it comes to learning Torah. Even if a person knows one mahalach, a second mahalach, a third chat, a fourth explanation, another dimension to the same vault, he has all 70, he has to love all 70 equally as much as the first time you heard the chat and prophet. Train the gear today, because today I want to go through with you a parasha and a Torah, and look at it from very, very many different angles. Different ways of looking at the pasuk, different ways of understanding a parasha and a Torah. The Torah tells us in Parashat Matos, B'nei God and B'nei Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "We'd love to have the land in Eved Yadi. Why do we have to go into Eretz Yisrael? We'd much rather have the land in Eved Yadi." Moshe then proceeded to tell them off. The Erech 10 to 11 took him. And Moshe tells them off. He says, what are you doing? You're acting like a Meraglim. You're frightening Klal Yisrael. You're turning them away from Eretz Yisrael. You want to live in Eved Yadid? That's not fair. After the 10 to 11 took him, B'nei God and B'nei Reuven come back to Moshe. No, Moshe, you misunderstood us. That was not our intention at all. We only wanted to live in Eved Yadid. But of course we're willing to go and fight in Eretz Yisrael. Of course. On the contrary, we'll lead Klal Yisrael out to battle. We're not frightened of war. We'll go to battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on our side. We'll be safe. We don't want to frighten Klal Yisrael. We're good. When the Sfarfenet was a young child, he once stayed up late at night learning with Chavusa in the local Beis Medrash. The next morning, Kiyadua, he must be very tired, and he stayed in bed. Past his estimated time arrival in shul the next morning, so Zeda, the Heidegger Chidush Alim, called him over and he gave him a telling off. He said, Shachris, you were late to Shachris, the Kapurah, what's the matter? So after his telling off, Chavra of Sosemis, who had learned in the previous night, said to Sosemis, so why didn't you tell Zeda you were up late learning last night? He doesn't know that. He thinks you were messing around last night, and you came late to Shachris this morning. Why didn't you tell him? So the Sfarfenet, I learned it from our parasha Matos. If Klal Yisrael, two Shvotim, Shivtikon, Shvot of God and Reuven, accepted their telling off, although it was given to them unfairly, although they never deserved it, they never wanted it, that wasn't their intention, they never interrupted Moshe. Moshe, stop, you're telling us off unfairly. After Moshe had finished speaking, then they said, Moshe, we're willing to go and fight. But they never interrupted Moshe Rabbeinu. They were oyev es ha-Musa, they loved the Musa. They waited, and then they told Moshe their intentions. So the Sfarfenet to his friend, a telling off from my Zeda, he said, how could I give that up? I think we can honestly say the doyos today have changed somewhat. Both in chinuch at home, both in chinuch at school, you can't get that. They don't seem to have that, my Zeda and Sfarfenet. But let's bring out the nekuda of God and Reuven. Let's ask three questions this morning. Number one, why dafka Reuven? Second question, why dafka God? And then if we look at the end of the period, after Moshe Rabbeinu has agreed to the conditions of B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, the Torah tells us he took and he gave the land also to Sheva Menashe. So all those Shonim stand up and ask, half of Sheva Menashe? They're never mentioned till now. Where did they come from? What's happening over here? Till now, with the negotiations and discussion with the B'nai God and B'nai Reuven. And at the end, Moshe agreed to them, and he gave it to Reuben, and God, Velachat Yishtevet HaManasha. Where did they come from all of a sudden? So some are showing him, the Eben Ezra Pagoshom, the Eben Ezra says, the Emet, he says, half of Shevet HaManasha did also come to Moshe. They also stood there. They were also one of the Shvatim who said to Moshe, we'd like to live in Eval Yadu. Now since they're only half a Shevet, not that Choshev, because the Torah doesn't mention them in the request, when it's given out and divided, then we throw in Velachat Yishevet HaManasha. But they weren't there. They were there, the Eben Ezra learns, they were there in the beginning, they're just not mentioned. However, it's difficult to understand Eben Ezra, because it's the Loiki Yerushalmi. We all know, we're living at the time of the year between Shavuot and Sukkot. The Hegel Yibane HaMikdosh will soon be bringing Bikurim. Between Shavuot and Sukkot is the time to bring Bikurim. One that Sukkot we say at the time of Havaat Bikurim is, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the land, Asher Nasat Lanu, which you have given us. Says the Yerushalmi, in Bikurim HaLachal. If one of the men of God and Reuven would want to bring his fruit at Bikurim, he couldn't. Because he couldn't possibly say the parasha of Ha'oret Asher Nasat Lanu. He can't say thank you, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, for the land you've given to me. Because it wasn't given, it was taken. Zot Yerushalmi. Half of Shevet Menashe, if they want to bring Bikurim, they're entitled to. Because they didn't take it, it was given. Zot Yerushalmi? He gave it to them. But they didn't ask for it. Therefore, says Yerushalmi, they can bring Bikurim. Zot Yerushalmi, Ezra clearly said they did come and ask for it. No, they're not made from the beginning, because they only have a shevet. Or the Chayim Yerushalmi statement foolish. They didn't ask for it. It was given to them like all the other 9.5 Shavatim. So everyone, one can bring Bikurim from their land and they were yarding. So back to square one again. If they never asked for it, why was it given to them? Why weren't they given a chelik in Eretz Yisrael like all other Shavatim? The very first prophet in Perek Lamed Beis tells us, U'mikne Rav, Hoyo Libnei Reuven V'Libnei God. And as far as I've noticed, that's the only place in the parasha where Reuven is placed before God. The entire rest of the parasha is always called B'nei God or B'nei Reuven. And the Yeshiva Shalashoni, in Kiddushin Tzer Peret, from what I've learned it, is called the Tnai of B'nei God or B'nei Reuven. But Reuven is always mentioned second. For the very first time, at the beginning of the parasha, Mikne Rav Hoyo Libnei Reuven V'Libnei God Otzimoy, says the Rambam. There's a reason why it's called B'nai God or B'nai Roman, says the Ramban, also known, because the Etzim, this was God's idea. Living in Eved Yadin was the idea of God, and we'll see in a minute why. But in the first time the Torah is going to mention it, the Torah decides to call it B'nai Roman first, because it was the B'chor. But the Etzim is called B'nai God or B'nai Roman throughout the parasha, because it was God's idea. Why? So why did God have the idea to live in Eved Yadin? Why did Roman join him? And why were Chad Yishev and Menashe given a piece of land they never even asked for? Why couldn't they go into Eretz Yisrael? The Mefarshim on the diet split in the Pasuk. The Torah doesn't tell us that B'nai God and B'nai Reuven had a lot and strong cattle. It says U'mikne Rav Hoyo L'B'nai Reuven, comma. B'nai Reuven had lots of cattle, comma. V'L'B'nai God Otzim O'oyim, God had very strong cattle. So Reuven and God had different types of cattle. Reuven had plenty, and God had very strong. The Shach al HaTorah wants to explain that this is all based on a famous story early on in Sefer Bereishis, when Reuven went into the field and he found the Dorim. Reuven found the Dorim. So the Dorim, Chazal tell us, had a koyach of childbearing. That's why we're going to ask for them. Reuven had it. And Reuven camped together with Shimon and God on the south side. So Reuven shared the Dudorim with God. But he wouldn't give them to Reuven, Shteitz Shach. He wouldn't give them to Shimon. Because of the chet of Zimri, he said, Reuven and God will share it, we're not sharing with you. So Reuven and God were able to outstanding flocks. And therefore they said, we want to stay in Eved Yadin. got to be a parsha, but who in God got plenty of stuff? I'm not sure. But why? Why should Reuven and God, so, according to Shach, that's from the Zidoyim, there's got to be a reason why poor Reuven and God are Zeuchat, outstanding cattle, they want Evel Yadin and half Menashe, all to do. If we look back at Shavuot God, we see something very interesting. In Bamidbar Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Daled, we're told who is the Nasi of Shavuot God? Eliyahu ben Deuri. In Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Daled, we're told who is the Nasi? Eliyahu ben Reuel. A Daled Rish. A Bakhoz of the Kirchhoff. Said the Ramban, what happened to his name? Exactly one Perek later, and his name is changed. So the Ramban, it doesn't really matter, the name is quite similar, we're not fussing too much. Stating Imri Noyan. A rockship to Anakel, the Emir Noam of Jikas, says a Gavaldi Gavald. Shechad is Emma Samatar. Says the Emir Noam at this. We see a tremendous Maila in Shevet God at this juncture over here. We all know that around the Mishkan there were four sides. Each of the four sides had three Shabbatim camping there. Each side had one Shevet as their leader. For example, at Mizrach, there was Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun, and Yehuda was the leader. To the right, on Doron, was Reuven, Shimon, and God. Reuven was the leader. So in Menoya and Lech'ora, God had a very valid title. God could have turned around and said, me? Why am I not the leader? Reuven is the Bechor? Yechmenoich is the Bechor. Reuven is the Bechor of Leah, I'm the Bechor of Zilpah. So why does Reuven get to be the man in front, not me? And God could have had a time, but he didn't. God wasn't a zotter. I've got equal rights to claim it. I'm not saying it. Zog the Torah. When the Nesim are listed out, and God doesn't complain, so I'm going to banish Leilam Eliyosov ben Reuel. You are Re'ael. You're a friend of the banish Leilam. You're showing us the Koyach of Vitur. Let's jump to the end of the Torah. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu buried? In Evel Hayadin. Now let's ask ourselves, Shtel Zechor Reuven and God would not have asked for land in Evel Hayadin. Moshe would have been buried among Umat Zoylom, the land of Sichon and Oi. Along came God, as we said before, this was God's idea. And God said, I want land in Evel Hayadin. And Moshe will be buried in my chelet. Says the Imre Noyam, beautiful. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to God? When he says that bracha, Baruch Malchiv God. There are countless Mephoshim who explain this. Says the Imre Noyam, this is back to what we said before in Bamidbar. Shevet of God, Baruch Malchiv God. They were given extra land because they were mevata on their own natural inheritance. To say we have Moshe buried in us. In our chelik, but have all Kalani Yisrael at one stage come into our land, looking for the cave of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lo yada ishas kivrosoi, they want to know where Moshe buried. So Baruch Malchiv God, Hashem expanded the land of God. Shtikin Zoya, v'hamon kizra gad, the mon was kizra gad, literal translation. I think it's coriander seed. Shteitin Zoya. We know many Shvatim came to Moshe Rabbeinu with tainas. We are satisfied with mon. Give us meat. Now Shteinu Kotso Balechem HaKroikin. Says the Zoya, Shem that God never did that. Vahamon Kezera God. The mon was as loved by Shevet God as if it was their children. Why? Because they were machaber, they loved and respected Moshe Rabbeinu, because through him, b'schusoi, they got them on. So they loved Moshe B'chayo. They were interested in looking for me. They said, "Mond enough for us." Therefore, they had outstanding number of flock. They never shepherded the animals. Yeah. They ate, Shaitan Zoya, them on, and only them on. Kizrad, Kizaragod. They loved it like their children. They were machaber Moshe B'chayo. During Moshe's lifetime, they showed him an unbelievable respect. They ate them on and were blessed with such a number of flocks. And the Moisoi, they were the ones who honored Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Moshe in their chilek, Baruch Malchus God. We see a little bit about the respect that God had for Moshe. And the way he was mevata over not arguing, not saying, I deserve to be a Nazi at this side. He was mevata, and he was given extra land in Eval Yadim. And he was considered Ru'ue Le'ayim. What about Reuven? What's Moshe do Reuven? Yodua, when the Reuven was born, the first one the Shifte Kol, Shifte in Torah, Leah said, I'm calling Reuven, Kiro Hashem Bon. Now if one closes the Chumash then, at that point, no questions. Ro Hashem Boni, Hashem saw my suffering, Kevon Deh Vodabot Kol, Shifte Kol. That's a Pella. The Gemara in Brochus Tavzayin gives us an entirely different reason. Now, if the Torah wouldn't tell us why it's called Reuven, it makes perfect sense. That Mitzukah, Mitzuk Chazal. So the Gemara will tell us why it's called Reuven. But as far as we're concerned, Shnei Mefonish and Torah, Ra Hashem Bo'onyi, Hashem saw my suffering. That Mitzukah and the Gemara in Brochus Tavzayin to an entirely different reason. What does the Gemara say? Stating Gemara, Leo said, Ru'usi ma bein b'ni leben chomi. Look at the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. My father-in-law's son, Esau, sold the b'chorega. He sold it. Top of mechira, a proper sale. If we look in the parasha, when Yaakov and Esau were dealing over the Bechorah, the discussion was only over Nezid HaGosh lentil soup. What did he give him? He said, Tehra Yaakov gave him Lechem on Nezid HaGosh. What the hell? Why? He's not being asked for that. They made a deal over Nezid HaGosh. What did Yaakov give him? And he said, Yaakov le Esau, Lechem on Nezid HaGosh. The Chamor Gezot Pshat is a halacha shulchanoruch. If you see a person who's absolutely starving and you offer a piece of food and you say, I want £1 million of piece of food, and you know he's got no choice, you know he's ravenous, and you say, I accept it. £1 million of food. And 2 days later you go knock on the door for the money, you just say, I was forced into it. You knew I was starving. You knew I had no choice but to accept your offer. You knew I was starving. You can't do it. And you've got to pay off. It's a valid time. You can't charge someone so much because you know they're desperate. I wish Shalom be people the same. Neither they don't. The petrol prices. Straight in Torah. Yaakov didn't want any such time of labor. So Yaakov said, you want a deal? You're going to have time to be later. You're so hungry. You're forced into giving a bechorah. So what did Yaakov first do? Lechem. Eat. You're not hungry anymore. You still want money to Ladoshim. You're not hungry anymore. You still want it? So Yaakov bought the Bechorah. Says Leah, let's get back to Gemara Brachos Tavzayin. So Yaakov has bought the Bechorah of Esau. A proper deal. A mecher. It's valid. And what did Esau do? He was mekana. He was angry. He was jealous. He hated. Vayistoim Esau. He hated Yaakov. And what did he do? He wanted to kill him. So Leah, and look at my son over here. Look at the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. My son Reuven has going to lose the Bechorah. He's not going to sell it to Yosef. He's going to lose it. After the story, we're moving the bed from Bilhah's tent to mother's tent. He'll lose it. Will Reuven hate Yosef over it? No. Who went back to save Yosef from the boys? Reuven. Says Leah, do you know why he's called Reuven? Stating Gemara, look at the difference. My son, my Bechor, and the Bechor of my father-in-law. That's very nice. Still the Bill of Gona thing. When Taylor stayed this, that's why. We look at the Pesukim in the Taylor, to the Forge of Bosset. Ra, Hashem Ba'oni, Hashem for my family. So it's pulled down. The son went into Maronim B'Yashar Shlita. I just let him tell you what I heard from the shape, the cadmium, the Naphtali cadmium. So, if we look at it, we could perhaps combine both Mark and the St. Ashley one. There was, as we know, a famous talk of the town that people were saying Rivka has two sons and Lot, Rivka has two daughters. Rivka has two sons, Esau has two daughters. Sorry, Lavan. Lavan, two daughters. Has a jolly lot, the God, Hannah, the God. Lavan's children, older one, Rivka's older one. And there we'll go to Esau. The Torah tells us, the Ene Leah Rakois, Leah's eyes were tender, she was crying. It's interesting to know that Ibn Ezra on that passage is very sharp. That Ibn Ezra says on the passage, Omali ben Ephraim. Ben Ephraim said to me, Ki hatoira chosai aleph. The Torah is missing an aleph. Which was this word, Rakois? It should be Arukois. She had long eyes. The Torah is missing an aleph. So, Ibn Ezra, no such thing. Forget it, he says. Rakois? Arukois? No mistake. There's no aleph missing in the Torah. Ben Ephraim should go without an aleph. You should call him Ben Polin, the son of Kaul. The Torah's not missing an aleph. So we all know that they are cried. So I'm going to have cats. This talk of town wasn't just talk. It was a nevuah. And the nevuah was that Leah had to marry the older one, the Esau. And so she cried. So I'm going to punish them. I'm going to massage the events. I'm going to change this natural event. So Leah does marry the older one. So they said, he sold the Bechor to Yaakov. So Yaakov now became the older one. So now the Bechor, the Nevuah was Mekuyim B'Miluoy. So they were totally cut, look at both names, look at both sibbos. Roa Hashem Ba'oni, Hashem saw my suffering, how much I suffered, I didn't want to marry Esau. And what does Hashem do? Ru'uma Bein B'ni Leben Chomi. Look at the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son, who sold his Bechorah, so I could end up marrying Yaakov, because now he's the older one. So Nochamol, let's face ourselves in the Gemara, we'll win again. Was the Bechorah, was naturally entitled to the Bechorah. It was taken away. And on the contrary, he didn't have tithes, he didn't hate anyone over it. On the contrary, he was out to save and help his competitor, Yosef, who took the Bechorah. So we find the Inyan of God, who was Mevater, his Nesir, Baruch Malchiv God, who was blessed. Shevet Ubin, who was the Bechor, says the Gemara he lost it, and he didn't hate anyone over it. Mevater to someone else. Now let's have a look at Shevet Menashe. What is Shevet Menashe doing in Ibn Yadin? They never asked for it. There's countless Malchim. There's a Malbim, Nitziv. I'll say about Tzirur Hamoyim. Was very nice before it's out of Kaiser. Tzirur HaMoyim was a Kadmon who lived at the same time of the Spanish Inquisition. He had Avraham Seba, who escaped from Spain to Portugal. He's a Gavaldi Gavaldi, a mathematical Gavaldi. He says Yosef HaTzadik was called a Tzadik. He was Oymed Ben Yisroel in Mitzrayim, in a Mokum Tumah. Who was there? Yosef Ephraim and Menashe. Three Shavuotim, three outstanding individuals corresponding to all the other 12 Shavuotim. They said that each shevet needed a zechus, a little bit of the part of the family of Joseph to sustain them. If it's three shvatim, three men, Yosef, the son of Menashe, to be divided by 12 shvatim, each shevet is entitled to a quarter of the family of Yosef to keep them going. But that's where I'm honest. If Uwin and God are going to live, me'eva la'yadim. Where are they going to draw their inspiration from? So we gave them half of Shevet Menashe. Two quarters is a half. They got a half of Shevet Menashe. Two Shvatim, got a half of Shevet. Half of Shevet Menashe. How do they sit in Tzvei Amor? But I want to tie up what we discussed this morning with Shevet Menashe. Let's go back in the Torah. Leah Imenu had six sons. Bilhah had two, Zilpah had two, and then Leah was pregnant. Taking Gomorrah. Leah did a din ba'atzmo. She said to herself, I can't have this. If I have another son, then by mathematical calculation, Rachel can have maximum one of the shvatim. It's not fair. She'll be even less than only shvatim. So what did Leah do? Din ba'atzmo. She davened to the Gebbein Shleim, I'll give it up, I'll have a go. Dina. So Leah could have thought to herself, I've given up the Shvonish Shvotin. So go, ah, this will be my nachas. She'll give me pleasure, she'll help me home. I'll have only pleasure from her. What did Leah tell us? Vatei Dino Bas Leah. Dino Bas Leah went out and was captured by Shechem. Shechem was ma'anath her. Did Leah complain? Did Leah find it again? Leah could have said, is this my, is this Chorim Bikol Amoli? What I've done for my sister, I'm getting back nothing. I'm at a loss. I'm running on a deficit. It can't be. Less than nothing. What happened to the child from Dino and Shechem? Stated in the Shoinim, Yaakov Avinu put a little kameh around her neck. Sent her down to Mitzrayim. She was brought up as a young girl in the house of Potiphar. And when Yosef was appointed as the Mishnah Amelech, this girl threw down the paper at his feet. He picked up and read it and said, I am the daughter of Dino Bas Yaakov, your niece. And there, out of all the Benoit Mitzrayim, Yosef took his niece and married his Dino's daughter, Oscar. So what did Leah get as a result of her victory having been mevatar to her sister? Two shvatim! She gave up one! She gave up one! She didn't complain once over the years. And what did the Bereshit pair back with? Great grandsons, Menashe and Ephraim, V'ani hinei nosati d'chosh shchem achad alachechot adyakim, to Yosef. I'm giving you a double portion. You're not one shevet, you're two. Ephraim and Menashe k'ruvim v'shlimen yeyuli. You're two shvotim. Your koyach or vitor is so strong. You give up so much for someone else. That is chorim mikol amoli. Look what you deserve now. Not one, but two. It's not good at Bereshit. As we were Uvin in God, were willing to live Meir Benayadim, to respect Moshe. They were Mevatar. God was a Mevatar. Uvin was a Mevatar on the Bechayra. So I'm going to go, I want the Doidus to show you. What is the Schar for someone's Mevatar? What is your reward? Take a Shevet Menashe with you. Yes, they never asked for it. Take the Meir Benayadim. And as you grow up, as your families grow, you can say, we were Mevatar. What did we get? Yes, we got our own personal bracha, a Baruch Ma'achim God. But look at Shevet Menashe. The existence as a Shevet is only because generations ago, Leah was Mevatar, didn't complain. She gave it up. She gave up one Shevet. And she got back a second one. But one does for someone else, one only gets paid back to Kefir Kiflaim. I think with one more minute I'll show you the Gavodig of the Dibre Chaim. The Dibre Chaim Tiodua never gave Haskomas an insult, except one. He was asked to look through a sefer, and he saw in the sefer a Gavodig of God. He said, I'm going to write a Haskom on this sefer, because the Machaba must have had Digger Shemayim to write another. The Machaba asked, on the Pesach and David, Ka'ayol Tarig ala Sikim Oyen. Like an isle is towering, like it longs for water. Came naturally sourly in that one. So Machaba asked, I don't get it. Grammatically, this is incorrect. An isle is a male ram. The Pasuk should have said, Ka'ayol ya'aroig alafike moy. What's a sourly? So he brought down the Machaba of the Sefer, which the Rechaim liked so much, brought down two beautiful ma'alakoyos. One a Gemara, which tells us that an ayolo has the most pain out of all animals in childbirth. And the child that's given birth, it cries out to the bush of an excruciating pain. And I got both of them, not harsh, which helps. Vaiti brought down is a medrash which tells us that when there's drought in the forest, the animals run to the ayolo and say, you govern for us. The ayolo turns and she governs and causes that got both of them. So the machabah of the safe asked, what would happen if the ayolo would have both to do at the same time? She's about to give birth, and she's in terrible pain. And there's a drought in the forest, and the animals come to her and say, please dump for us. So the safer. That's what David HaMelech said. She forgets her own pain, and she cares for the others. Ka'ayol, like an ayol who doesn't have pain in birth, but he's a male. Like a ram. Taroy, she longs for water. Like an ayol who doesn't have pain in birth, Targod, she longs for water and care for others. Kenash is firing. May we take a bivorcha. Soon, Mehiri Bon Amigdosh will bring up Bikurim from Eveliadin, from Eveliadin, and bring it back to Mehiri Bon Amigdosh.